Well, we're back. Now, today I'm talking about Norman O. Brown's book, Life Against Death, the True Meaning of History, or the Psychoanalytical Meaning of History. History not from a biblical perspective of right and wrong, but history as what environment you were raised in. Which environment was your life experience developed from? A patriarchal paradigm? In other words, did you come from a home that was rigid, right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell, very contrast structure, obey me, you're blessed, disobey me, you're cursed? Or were you raised in just a laissez-faire, do whatever you feel like doing? And that's a feelings-based environment. The first is very cognitive. Here are the facts, here are the truth. You just do it, get yourself under control, self-discipline, biblical, humble yourself, deny yourself. But the middle one is called the matriarchal. It's the feelings. It's the can't we all just get along social relationship type of stuff. But the heresiarchal is the desired outcome for the dialectical process. It is the ability of justifying. It's theory. They call it theory and practice. You're thinking, you're theorizing, you're speculating, you're imagining what the world could be like if we simply would all work together for the common. See, it's not communism, it's commonism. This is communitarianism. This is the language we hear today all throughout our nation, which is anathema to a constitutional republic form of government, which is representation form. In other words, somebody represents your position. This is right, and that is wrong. And so you want them to hold to what is right and fight against that which is wrong, and there are set laws, but not today. See, not we don't have representation today. Any facilitated meeting, dialoguing to a consensus, is a social consensus with the sensuous, see, with the temporal. And so a voice above the person, the conscience, no longer controls their decisions or their outcome. It is the superego, which is tied to the feelings of relationship with the creation. Norman O. Brown, as I was finishing up on the last segment, by dialectical, an activity. It's not enough to just think of it. Marx said, it's not enough to philosophize. His Feuerbach thesis number 11, he says, the philosophers of all interpreted the world in many different ways. In other words, you know, you sit and you write your books in your ivory towers, and you go out and you want people to read them, and then they go practice it. Well, yours don't agree with the other ivory tower mentality, and so we still have division. He says, okay, we can all come in with opinions, but don't stop there, because the opinions, if we just say, okay, mine's right and yours wrong, then we stop the process. Now, Hegel actually put it this way, and Marx builds on this. He turns Hegel upside down because Hegel had this, there was a spirit out there guiding all this. Marx said, no, there's no spirit out there. The spirit is in man. It's a social. It's society itself. But Hegel said that once a person is no longer concerned about what somebody else has done that's wrong. Remember, God says right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell, you know, obey me, you're blessed, disobey me, you're cursed. Once we're no longer concerned about what somebody has done that's wrong, but only concerned about what they have done that is right, then peace and affirmation have come to us. And so the agenda of the dialectical process, they call it negation of negation. Let's get rid of the patriarchal paradigm, because that's the father who comes in and says, son, I told you to do it this way, you did it that way, and it's wrong. Do it right. Well, as long as we focus on being positive and right and no longer have those negative voices around, we can all have peace as we go down this broad path to world harmony. But you have to become conscious of this voice, this person, this authority, this autocratic mentality that tells you what is right and what is wrong. And so the dialectical environment, the social environmental environment that your legislators are in the caucuses, dialoguing to consensus, they're negating the voice of the constituents and the platform they were voted to represent when they're put under pressure of working for the team, whether it's the Republican Party or Democratic Party or Independent Party. The moment you have anyone dialoguing to a consensus in a facilitated meeting, they're practicing the dialectical process. Now, liberals go bonkers. They go, oh, well, you just gone too far. Well, wait a minute. God's the one who sets the standards, and God doesn't dialogue. This is the way it is. Certainly you have Moses confronting God, and God says, you know, I've had it with these children. I'm going to get rid of them. And Moses, we'll start over with you. But see, Moses doesn't dialogue with God. He reminds God that God has a covenant. God, if you destroy these people and start over with me, the whole world will know that you're not faithful to your word. So, and God was just simply saying, okay, Moses, where's your heart? Is your heart in what I'm saying? Or are you thinking, well, maybe that sounds like a pretty good idea. These guys are sort of a rabbly bunch of bickering, murmuring people anyway. Just start over with me. You know, no, his mind is upon that which is above, God's word. And that's the way we are to live. That was Noah. That was every man of faith is weighing their life and the world around them based from God's commands. That's a patriarchal paradigm. But the dialectical no, it says, no, we have to evaluate the world from our consciousness, subconsciousness, according to psychology, that which needs to be made conscious. And what is that? That's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, which dialectically isn't lust. It's just your normal human nature. It's your id. Somebody came in the room and called it lust. And you need to be conscious. This is class consciousness now. You need to be conscious that there is a God, quote unquote, who does not exist, who is somehow your parents have come in and given you commands that now you're carrying out, which really are detrimental to your potential in your life. As Carl Rogers, and I shared this in a prior program, Rogers said to a lady in her 40s, he said, why are you keeping the promises you made to your dad who died 20 years ago? Therefore, everything's relative to the situation. The promises and the commands of the past are irrelevant in the light of changing situations. And so you need to become conscious. This is the whole education system. Bloom's taxonomies, every certified teacher in this nation, Christian schools included, is trained from Bloom's taxonomy. It is all about class consciousness. It is to teach the children. In fact, on page 83, he says, this material will cause conflict between the parents and the children. Why? It's because the children are learning that they can do what they feel like doing, what they imagine. The parent is the oppressor. The parent is preventing them from discovering their full potential by their commands. And so the agenda is to detoxify the fear of the parent and the fear of judgment by the parent upon the child so the child can then create a better world order. No longer a world under a top-down system, but a world that man can create for the best for himself, out of his whole nature, for his own nature, loving the creation, loving the pleasure. But you have to have this activity of consciousness. It is also a struggle, because it's hard to undo the effects of the patriarchal mindset upon the child. Now, Norman Brown later says, the guilty conscience, that's the problem. Because, say, you're in a room of people who are doing something that's wrong, but to themselves, since there is no God voice above, there is no parent above, there is no higher authority above, they're simply doing human behavior because they're behavioral scientists. They're like Eve looking at the tree. There's nothing wrong with the tree. But you come in and you say, wait a minute, Dad did say we shouldn't do this. That's a guilty conscience. And Norman Brown says, this guilty conscience, this voice above, this voice of restraint, is formed in childhood by the incorporation of the parents. In other words, you accept the voice and the command of the parents as in granite. It's their way or no way. It's God's way or no way. It's my dad's way or no way. And therefore, you have this conscience that's tied to guilt. Why? Because you have within you the laws of the flesh. Remember, Paul says this law of flesh. And what is it? It's the desire to relate with the creation. And Mark said, that's the real you. The real you doesn't come from within you, doesn't come from above. It comes from the voice of the village. You have this natural desire to relate with the creation. Therefore, let's get rid of that extrinsic, external authority that inhibits you and all of mankind from finding common identity within the creation. And therein we can have, quote unquote, world peace. So it's a struggle. You're going to have internal turmoil. You're going to have turmoil in the schools with the teachers who are traditional, the teachers who are transitional, just want to, you know, have a job. And those who are transformational, those are heresiarchal, those who actually want to practice the dialectic to undo and negate and destroy the patriarchal paradigm. Because with the patriarchal paradigm, you'll always have nationalism and sovereignty, private property, people saying, this is mine and not yours. This is my child and not your child. This is my property and not your property. And you got to get rid of the negative. We don't mind you saying this is my child as long as you accept it as my child as well. It's our children. See, it's our property. Do you understand what's happening in all these facilitated meetings? The moment you have a facilitator in, that's where you're going. You know, the healthcare project, folks, that's going on today, it's not to fix the healthcare program, it's to fix you. Because you come in with this right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell, biblical, patriarchal experience in your life, and we've got to spend billions of dollars to do, it's not just physical, it's not just mental, it is social health. Because if we can change you mentally to where now you're thinking to the group, to the village, to society, to government, to socialism, then you negated, you have to be conscious now that there's this top-down system that's inhibiting you. So now you look for anybody in the, this is the neighbor watch. You're looking for anybody. It's not the thief that's going to come down the street and come into your home you're looking for eventually. It is anybody who is not doing the process. You read COPS, community-oriented policing, and Tijanovitz, who writes about it. He's a big name out there. He said, once we find that unit immediately above the family, the conscience is developed in the family. But once we find that unit immediately above the family, we have found positive social change. What does that mean? We find where the parents are willing to compromise to keep relations with the relatives and the neighborhood. Then we can bring that into the dialogue in the home, and they'll liberate the child from this voice above, the very same pattern that Satan got Eve to do in the garden. If we find what we have in common, good for food. This tree that God said was forbidden was just like the rest of them. It's common. Commonism. It's pleasing to the eyes. All the other trees, she found commonism. It's desires to make one wise. Well, the others weren't there, but this is, I am common with my parents. Now I am class consciousness. I am common with God. I can create. I can think. I can evaluate. Descartes has said, I think, therefore I am. God just said, I am that I am, because he's the true creator. But we think, well, that's theory and practice. We're going to practice thinking. We're going to practice Genesis 3, 1 through 6 over and over and over. That's what a facilitator does. He has no other purpose than to get everybody in the room to practice those six verses. Praxis Satanism. So now, boy, isn't that a statement? You condemn me now. Label me, put me in a little box, and there he is, radical. No, there it is. You understand Hegel's dialectical process and Karl Marx and Nietzsche and Kierkegaard? Go to those six verses. God has impeccably pinned us down. Every article I've read and studied and retained, I run through those six verses and they just flow. They flow, 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 flow. Because the moment we set our minds on things on the earth, we practice that process because we're in the laws of the flesh. An activity of consciousness, struggling. So now you got this, you're practicing. You got to do it. You can't just be theorizing. You got to practice it. You know, Marx said, the philosophers have all interpreted the world in many different ways. It's not enough to think or feel. But he said, but change it. We must change it. That means you've got to go out and practice revelation. Ah, did I say revelation? No, because that's revealed to you from a higher authority. We got to practice rebellion. In other words, challenge the established authority. You know, call those people who have property imperialists. Because why? You want to own more. So you buy a little, you have a little piece of house and you want to get a little more acreage around it. Now you're an imperialist, see? And so, or an isolationist. You want to go off and get away from all this social pressure and immorality. And so you're an isolationist. Well, Kurt Lewin, and I will cover him in a future session. He worked on children in Iowa. He was a Marxist. He edited the Frankfurt School. Of course, the social psychologists out there say, oh, you're going too far. He's not a Marxist. Sure he was. They just don't want to be exposed for what they are. Well, eventually they will. They'll say, oh, yeah, you were right all along. Why? Because now they have control. But he worked on children. And he would take girls, particularly, and he'd have them in a room which was divided, and they covered up one part of the room, put a screen across and curtains so the kids couldn't see that part of the room, and they gave them dolls. And these children just played with these dolls all day long, had a great time, just fun time. Next day they brought in dollhouses. Well, the girls took the dolls over and played in the dollhouses. Well, the next session they came, they put the screen up, and they just blocked off the dollhouses. So the kids could not get to the dollhouse. They could have the dolls, but they couldn't get the dollhouse as well. That's frustration. And that's temporal, natural human behavior. And they're wanting to undo that which God created, but they had to evaluate? How do people respond when they can't have their, this is my property, this is my child, this is, you know, the autocratic mindset, this is mine and not yours. See, there's no problem with mine. It's when you say, not yours. There was no problem in the garden except God says, not yours. This is my tree and not yours. See? And that's the top-down patriarchal system. And so then these kids would either go sit and sulk, that's isolationist, or they would come up and kick the leadership. Well, that's the aggression, that's imperialist. You want to grab whatever you can by force. And so the dialectic will always see those who defend their property and defend their inalienable rights in that light. Because they're not socialists, see? They haven't learned to praxis change. Notice the last leader, the current leadership, and I won't use the title of the office because he's not there constitutionally. But that's okay. You know, the public voted for him, and I just say we have as leader the heart of the people. God always looks at your heart to determine what to do with the nation. He's always done it. Did it with Israel. And he took Israel into captivity. We were into Babylon, folks, because we have moved from common law, which is it's self-evident, to civil law, which is Babylonian law. You go to the courts today, you're going to learn civil law, Babylonian law, not common law that blessed this nation. Common law, which is the freedom of the conscience. Unique to this nation, by the way. And others tried to follow it, but they didn't have a right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell, patriarchal paradigm. So it always goes down, goes downhill. You can study the Word of God and share it with others. And if they don't turn to God, if they just follow you or follow their thinking on it, they go downhill. Without His Word revealed to us from Him, it all goes downhill. It goes to the flesh. And this is the ultimate hill of descent. The man following his natural inclination. A praxis of consciousness. Now you're conscious that your parents are oppressing you. You're conscious the boss is preventing you. You're conscious that the Constitution is limiting the potential this nation can have with a global community. See, that's what your legislators are caught in today. Any Supreme Court judge who thinks international, that's treason. He thinks international law is treason, but, well, not today. Well, you can get away with it because they're now conscious of the limitations of the Constitution because they think dialectical. And it's a struggle. You got to work, undo this parent's voice within, how to sear the conscience and move to the superego, which is tied to the village. And then he says, to circumvent. Now, that's a key word. Circumvent means to get around. Because if Eve had said, you know what, God, you're wrong, and I'm right. Notice Satan said you won't die, and Eve didn't say, will too, will not, will too. That's antithesis. Or when Satan said you won't die, she goes, oh, okay, so God's a liar. See, in other words, it's no longer a right-wrong paradigm. This is the trickery of this thing. She lost a right and wrong contrast paradigm. God became irrelevant. That's why Nietzsche said God is dead. He's irrelevant. The moment we think dialectic, we haven't said God's wrong. We just treat him as irrelevant, and we just circumvented it. That's what the Supreme Court did. They just circumvented the Constitution by their decisions. They lost. I've read those decisions, from the 50s and even before. And what they did was the liberal judges, the dialectical judges, would write their decisions because, those who win compile it in one statement, but those who lose can write their individual opinion. And they would rewrite, and every time they lost, they would write dialectical outcome. In other words, they would treat it as though they won. And then the next loss, they would treat it as though they won. And they would do this over a series of sessions. And then finally, when they won, they would incorporate all of their prior decisions as though they had won in all of them. And therein, they circumvented any right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell, patriarchal discussion in their outcome. It was all to the dialectical process. This is trickery, folks. That's all Satan did with Eve, was trickery. Use of language. And so it's to circumvent the top-down system. The moment your town hall meeting, those mission statements, you ever seen them? You know how you come to those mission statements? You bring in a facilitator, and he gets the town council and the community to dialogue. That's a 3-minute time limit. And come to a consensus And they can come to a consensus up there, or they can come to a consensus with the community, the breakout sessions, over the social. That's all Eve was looking, was a social issue. Every time she went by the forbidden tree, she wanted to touch it. That's social. There's a relationship. And something was preventing that relationship. It was God's command. But once she was free to dialogue within herself and come to this sensuous, with the sensuous, an outcome of agreement that there's nothing wrong with this tree, that's a rational process, then she circumvented, and when your town council dialogues to a consensus over social issues in a facilitated meeting, they just circumvented your law. They just circumvented government restraint. Why? Because you participated. See, the moment you come into the room and you allow the facilitator to have influence in that, influence is the early dictionary definition of influence was demonic spirits from the stars. It's that part of us that God says it's not good that man be alone. So he created Eve. There's that relationship factor. The social engineers said, okay, Eve wanted to relate with the tree. Something in the environment stimulates, and I've talked about this, the environment stimulates dopamine. Dopamine is just one of the many neurotransmitters associated with pleasure, tied to all habitual drugs. Also, anytime you smell bread or see a beautiful sunset or somebody compliments you, dopamine's involved. It can actually be involved in pain. And what happens then is your mind looks into the environment. The brain picks up this dopamine. Anytime you're learning something that's new, that's exciting to you, you look into the environment to get more. That's why when you give a toy to a child, you're getting dopamine because you have pleasure giving it to them, and you're watching them unwrap it and play with it, and they're having dopamine, and that's good. God's not against pleasure. He's against the love of it. When you tell them to put the toy up and go clean the room or to do something else, and they keep playing with the toy, they're not in love with the toy. They're in love with the dopamine the toy stimulates. See, David was not really in love with Bathsheba. He was in love with the dopamine and the other chemicals involved as well, hormones, that Bathsheba stimulated. The environment stimulates the dopamine. Your mind looks into the environment to get more. That's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Because the pride of life is you did it, and other people compliment you. You get dopamine from that. And folks, that's all the consensus meeting is once we get this group hug, it's an orgiastic Dionysian moment. It is a worship of the creation. I mean, you could see the dopamine flowing. It's a room full of dopes. Literally, that's where the word dope, like cocaine, came from. This effect of dopamine. And these social engineers knew that if you could create the same scenario where the environment was allowed freedom and we were allowed freedom to relate with the environment uninhibited, we could share our, I ought to touch it, I ought to this, we ought to get along, we ought to be able to fix it. Why aren't we going to fix this problem? Because Joel's over there going, cannot, must not, thou shalt not, tying us to the laws of the past, preventing us from discovering our potential, and we can compete with a third world. You know, one guy wrote that if you compete with a third world economics, you become the third world economics. Look at us today. Ha ha in America, stupid people. Somebody told us on this bill of goods. Your mayors and governors flew all over the world to find a sister city in some poverty part of the world or different culture. Well, what was that? It was to circumvent sovereignty, right, wrong, black, white. This is my land, not your land language. And that's going on in your town hall meeting. Your town council bring in a facilitator that is to circumvent limited government. It's to undo a top-down system. Who's at the top, by the way? It's you, the citizens. What keeps the town council from doing what they want to do? What keeps the Department of Agriculture, all these departments our government has created and empowered with the billions of dollars, they've turned them over, they create this massive organization that now go all over this nation and oppress those who think patriarchal, this is my land, not your land. And they have these meetings where they bring the ranchers and the farmers and the businessmen and every profession, every institution together. You know, they're going to bring the church in. And I've talked about Romans 13. It says, yield to the higher power, incorrect. In the Greek, it's authority. All authority is of God. So if the king comes in and says, you do this, that's contrary to God's word, according to God's true translation of the word of God, no, you can tell the king, no, you're wrong. Because I'm going to be, in good conscience, I cannot obey you. I must obey God. And that is recognized in the scriptures, in the Greek, from the Textus Receptus. But what the ministers are being told today in church growth to use and preach and teach, yield to the higher power. You've got to do what Hitler tells you to do. Do you understand that? Of course, he's not Hitler anymore. It's not national. It is global. This is when you merge capitalism, all that property out there and all that people working for a profit and owning their own companies or their own, you know, it is not no longer a pop and mom business system. This is hostile to that. We have a man in the White House who said, every day I'm going to be thinking about, the family and small business. Sure, he's going to be thinking just like Lenin, how to get rid of them. Get on my website, authorityresearch.com. I have an article, a little portion of Lenin's speech. The whole 1919-1920 massacre of millions of people, removing unhealthy elements from society, was how to get rid of the patriarchal paradigm. The dialectical process must negate the patriarchal paradigm. Private property, this is my child, not your child. This is my nation, not your nation. There is no other purpose of the dialectical process. And the scheming of it was not to attack it directly, because you would be defeated. Satan didn't attack. He didn't go to Adam, the patriarch. He went to Eve, the matriarch. And so they go to your feelings. They go to what you can get out of this situation for yourself. You've been told you couldn't do something, and you have that oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda in you. If I can get you in a meeting and get you to share that subconscious desire, your fleshy, earthy nature, you will succumb to the process. Well, you know, we only got halfway through that quote. I tell you, this stuff is heady, and I know I get carried off on other directions, but hopefully it's tying it together. Norman O'Brown said, by dialectical, I mean an activity of consciousness struggling to circumvent the limitations imposed by formal logical law of contradiction, and we'll pick up next week or next session, because that formal logical law of contradiction is God himself. See, the parent. The limiting factor in our life, the restrainer in our life, that's formal, it's logical, and it's a law of contradiction to our flesh. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. That's all this process. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he's the one. He is the one who directs your paths.